batting, on batting, we're on batting, baby. Batting. We're on a journey, baby. Batting. We're on batting, baby. Batting. We're on batting.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Unbatting. I'm Jaina Pereira.
And I'm Jessica Presley.
Just, so you were over at my house on Sunday.
Tis true.
And the first thing I had to do was laugh at my husband because he woke up in the middle of the night, sneezed, gave himself a bloody nose, and tweaked his back.
It's like the epitome of this is 40.
Well, the reason I had to bring it up is because last night I slept wrong and my shoulder is killing me. And I feel like karma came to get me.
It did. It did. You really had a good laugh at him on Sunday. And this is your payment.
The fact that he sneezed and then he was like, achoo, ow.
You're only furthering your karmic debt at this point. Quit while you're ahead. You're not going to be able to walk tomorrow.
It's cracking me up. I still laugh about it. But at least he had an action that led to his hurt.
Truth.
I just woke up and was like, ow.
That happens to me all the time. All the time. Dave is like on the forever quest to find the perfect pillow. I mean, I think at this point we have spent thousands of dollars in pillows because he thinks the perfect one comes at the price tag of $250. It doesn't. Apparently the perfect pillow is 2 for $20 at Costco.
Really?
Yes. Yes. But nonetheless, I wake up with like a crooked neck probably 3 days out of the week.
I'm telling you right now, I like hurt myself probably at, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning ish. Had a hard time going back to sleep. Like the pain in the shoulder, I was like, oh my God. Oh. Like you would have thought I wrestled a bear or something.
I know. This sounds like way more intense than my middle of the night stiff neck situation.
Well, so what it reminds me of is that I feel old.
Number one, that's exactly what I thought. Yeah, you're old.
Yes.
Not me, though, because I'm like a ravishing year younger.
Yes. But at the same time, this is the youngest I'm ever going to be again.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Yeah, that hits.
Like, as the seconds are ticking by, I'm like, there goes another one. Like, the seconds are just ticking by.
That's so true. When you think about it like that, it's like, damn, live in the now.
Yeah.
You're the youngest you're ever going to be right now. Now. Now.
Now. And now. And now. Right. Again. Right now. So, okay, that brings me to another thing.
Squirrel.
Perimenopause.
Oh, right. The brain fog.
The brain fog. Mm-hmm. I just read this article that is like, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is because it happened to me. I, for the last 2 years, have been like a, oh shit, I'm going to have dementia.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that too.
And apparently, like 60% of women feel that way when they're going through perimenopause.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, so I might not have dementia. That is good news.
That is good news. And also, like, somebody help us. We're struggling over here. Who's the people that help us people?
Listen, if a man was going through perimenopause, all of the things would be happening right now.
I mean, years ago.
Yes.
Years ago.
Yeah.
But here we stand and we will fight our battles.
We will. And we'll complain about it because fuck you guys.
Stop calling us crazy.
Yes. Although I do feel a little crazy at times.
It's all right. You're allowed to feel that way. They're just not allowed to call us that because they haven't invented a cure.
Duality. I can not be crazy and be crazy.
All at the same time.
All at the same time.
Right.
Those two things can coexist.
Many things can coexist. Mm-hmm. All the things coexist because without one, there isn't the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about duality from a spiritual perspective, from a life perspective. And essentially, that just means that everything is on a continuum and has a complementary opposite.
Yes. And so when I feel a certain thing or a certain way, I think that it sucks that people want to like hold you to whatever emotion that you might have for a split second without realizing that you can also have that opposite emotion at the exact same time.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that I've heard you talk about before. Like maybe that's like a personal experience that you've had. Do you feel like somebody has like held you to something?
I think that, like, for example, and just because this is a most recent thing in my life, like I can look at a woman and think that she is beautiful, aging beautifully. I can look at myself and think that I look beautiful and that I'm aging well. And I can also want to do something about it.
Gotcha.
And so that's like something that I struggle with a lot because I don't know. I just feel two ways about it within myself.
Right.
And so trying to get those two to balance out is like hard. Like trying to like justify both of them at the same time can get pretty tricky in my brain.
Well, I think that a lot of us are kind of raised with this idea that like we need an identity, we need a title, we need to be this or that, one or the other. And so right now it just sounds like you're kind of having this like inner growth around that this or that thinking. Yeah. And so as opposed to it being this or that, you know, it's like I can be this and that.
Yeah. And I think that that's where a lot of people try and hold you to something, you know, and that's when people are like, oh, no, you said you felt this way. And you're like, yeah, I know. But I also feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like on the internet, especially, I feel like, especially having a podcast, you and I, we dive into topics. I will forget 70% of the things that I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put out some information. We talk about certain things. And sure, I do feel those certain ways. But if somebody were to come back and say, oh, no, you, what about this? I could also be like, oh, yeah. I just didn't think to say that in the moment.
Right.
Because emotions are so complex. Information is so complex. Trying to get to every little, like our show would be 7 hours long if we tried to get to every single piece of information that floated through our brain.
Yeah, I see that. I definitely see that. I also feel like whenever it comes to duality, like as you were saying, things can be more than one thing, right? Like I think something that I am challenging myself with right now is about like kind of stepping more into my femininity.
Uh-huh.
And being a little bit softer.
Yeah.
Or being a little bit more in that creative, nurturing space, getting less out of my head and more into my body. But I can't be all that all the time. It can be both.
Yeah.
And I can't recognize that one needs to be done if the other didn't exist.
True.
Right? So a lot of duality is also about feeling the full range of an emotion or seeing something full circle for what it is. So essentially, without darkness, we can't appreciate the light.
Yeah, it's like you can't have good days if you don't have bad days, because then how would you know that it was a good day?
Exactly. Or, you know, there's this like this idea of like liquid and solid.
Uh-huh.
Right? So like if you can imagine like water and rock, if you were say like which one is tougher, you'd be like the rock, right? But yet we have evidence within our own ecosystem in thousands of years where there's water rushing next to rock and just withering
yeah.
it away. It can be soft and liquid and still
slow.
Strong.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's so many things that are opposing each other, but still there's a balance in between. That's the goal, right?
Yeah.
The balance in between. But there's two sides to every coin. There's an opposite to every side.
You know what this is reminding me of? And we're going to get a little pop culture-y here. If you saw the Barbie movie, this very much reminds me of America Ferrera's big speech in the Barbie movie, where she's like, women are expected to be this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, but sometimes we are this and that. Sometimes we are the, you know, nurturer, and sometimes we are the go-getter. Sometimes, like, it just, it's all about embracing the balance of things.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I think sucks with that speech, though, is that that's what is put onto us. It's not allowing us to figure out what we are. It's saying you have to be one of these things.
And also like the judgment that goes with it. Like
yes.
You have to be a stay-at-home mom and take care of all your kids. And you have to be a go-getter and a career woman.
Uh-huh.
Like there's judgment if you choose one or the other.
Yes.
And so I feel like in that scene of the movie, such a powerful scene, it was very emotional because as women, we feel all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're given space and it doesn't matter if other people give us the space, right? This is what we're trying to practice. It's
right.
about giving yourself space within. If you give yourself the space to be both and accept the fact that you are both,
mm-hmm.
that's where the balance, I feel like, comes in.
Yeah, I was reading up a little bit about duality, and one of the things that, like, an example that they had given that really kind of hit home for me, and I'll kind of make it my own, is like your kid turning 18 and the happiness and the excitement of watching your child grow into an adult, and then the sadness and the like the not wanting to let go and the like can't believe that this has gone by so fast, and letting both of those things exist at the same time, because, well, shit, it's a wide variety of emotions going on there. I spent so much of my life raising this person up and watching him grow into this person that he is today. And also, holy fuck, I spent so much of my life.
Right.
You know? And so we experience duality in every single thing that we do, if you think about it.
Oh, definitely.
There is always a yin and a yang to everything that we do.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the big things too is, like, in that yin and yang, part of acceptance is like deciding, like, I see both sides, and where do I choose to focus my energy, right? So of course, in the example that you gave, is like, we'll keep going with that, like, you can sit and wallow in your sadness and become depressed,
mm-hmm.
if you give all your attention to that.
Yeah.
You can be elated for your kid and you know, supporting everything that he's doing, and you can be all in that. But then you would be denying this other part of yourself.
Yeah, that's going to come out eventually.
That's going to come out. And so it's like, when you can see both sides and accept that, then you can find somewhere in the middle where you reside and not kind of give it all to the sad part or give it all to the darkness or all to the light.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing. I was just having a conversation with another mom, and like, her sadness came out unexpectedly one day. She was like, I don't know, just all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, my kid's growing up and he's going to be leaving the house and he doesn't spend any time with us anymore. And I was like, oh God, that is so, like, that's what can happen. Things fester and they bubble up, and mm-hmm. then they come out at unexpected times whenever you're giving too much to one side. Like, if you're focusing on, you know, only the good right now, and then the bad is like creeping up and they're like, no, we still feel this way.
Right. So as you're talking about that, one of the things that I can remember is like whenever I feel really happy for somebody that something really good is happening for them, but also feeling really sad for myself,
yes.
that thing isn't
yeah.
happening for me.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever, I mean, Dave and I were married for 6 years before we became parents. And in that 6 years, we watched friend after friend after friend after friend get pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and have kids, maybe even get pregnant and have their second kid,
yeah.
or third kid. And so it was like, gosh, I had so much happiness for them. But at the same time, every time I watched a friend celebrate that pregnancy, it was a reminder that I didn't have that thing.
Yeah.
And so I felt really bad about that. and I really wanted to hide that part of me. Uh-huh. And I think that a lot of grief got stuck in my body because I didn't allow a full expression of that for fear that I would appear selfish or that I wouldn't be able to celebrate my friends like life accomplishments.
Yeah.
And so in that, it just kind of reminds me to say, like, if I'm accomplishing something that I know somebody close to me wants to do or is struggling with, or if there's something naturally in my life that comes to me that somebody I know and love is struggling with, like, I want to be able to create space for them to feel that without worrying about me.
Well, because we're taught to feel guilt. Mm-hmm. Over not, you know, celebrating somebody else or you know, their accomplishments or whatever. Like, we have to feel guilty if we don't do what society tells us that we need to feel in that moment.
Right.
And that's not fair because as they're teaching us all of this guilt, they're forgetting that every other person in the world feels the same thing. We do have those two sides.
Right.
And so, like, when somebody does something that is like really great or something that I want in my life, I can feel jealous. I'm allowed to have a little jealousy. I'm allowed to have sadness. And I'm also allowed to have excitement and celebrate those people.
Mm-hmm.
But also allowing myself the time and the space to feel it and then release it, I think, is really important. We talk all the time about how important it is to feel all of the feelings.
Right.
We shouldn't be suppressing them. And I don't think that it is a normal thing for us to talk to other people about the bad feelings that we might be having in that moment. Like, let's say, I don't know, my best friend ends up with a movie role. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that I might be jealous about.
Right.
Nobody says it's okay for me to be like, oh my God, that is so great. I'm so excited for you. Let's say I was going for that movie role too.
Right.
And they got it. Where is the space that me and that other person can be in together that I can be like, I'm so excited for you. I'm also really, really sad for me.
Right. And I think that like in this example, both people are feeling the same thing, just yeah. in reverse. They're like, gosh, I'm so happy for myself, but I feel really bad for you yeah. at the same time. Right. And I feel like if that was just expressed or talked about or acknowledged,
uh-huh.
right, then and I think in most cases where one person has something that's knowingly another person is envious of, if you're in a loving relationship, there's room for that.
Yeah.
You know, there's
yeah.
room for that within the relationship. But yeah, I just think that it is possible to be able to feel both of those things in that example, in many examples.
Well, you know, another thing that I was just thinking of, it's award season right now. Think about how many times when somebody is winning an Oscar, that they show all of the people at
once. They show all the faces.
All of the faces. And then whenever they lose, because only one person out of the five win,
mm-hmm.
they have to graciously lose. And anytime somebody makes a face or like isn't smiling or clapping, the world roasts them.
Right. Like, where's the space for them to be able to feel the disappointment?
Yes.
Like, ah, man.
I
all right,
really
good job.
Wanted
but
to
damn.
Win that.
Totally.
Like,
totally.
I worked really hard for 10 months too on a film, and I acted my ass off, and I really, really wanted to. When I wrote out a speech just in case.
Right.
It's in my pocket. It's burning a hole in my heart right now.
And I know that this camera is on my face, and I have to look stoic as fuck.
Yeah. And now I have to graciously lose. I have to do like the Joey smell the fart face, you know, like there should be like, it's okay to be disappointed. Cameramen, stop panning to the people that lose. Maybe just focus
on the person
that won and let the other people like wipe away a tear or two.
Totally. Allow them the space to feel what they're feeling too.
Yeah.
So we had a situation last night. I had to take Shay to a doctor's appointment. Dave had to pick Jordan up and take her to soccer practice. And, you know, I'm doing my thing with Shay. We're getting things done, cooking dinner, blah, blah, blah. Well, I get a text from Dave and he's like, coming in hot with Jordan. I'm going to need some help. Everything was great at practice. Shit's hitting the fan. Uh-huh. And I'm like, okay. And so she comes in. She's a little hot. He wasn't lying. She was coming in hot. But, you know, she needed a little different energy to help stabilize. So kids are in bed. The night happens. And Dave and I are sitting on the couch. And, you know, he's just like really trying to like think through this situation. Right. And he's like, you know, like, you know, it was like this and she was really upset. And then she was getting out of her seat and she was kicking her legs and blah, blah, blah. And it was going on and on. And I had been doing some reading about duality. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, it just kind of came to me and I was like, I mean, look how much energy we choose to give to the negative when mm-hmm. she had an entire day of things that went really great, an entire practice where he was like so proud of her that she like played her little butt off uh-huh. and was doing really good. But yet here he is for over an hour thinking about this 20 minute space and time where like things made him feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so when I brought this to his attention, he was like, God, you're right. It's so easy to give all that energy to the negative whenever you're not looking at the full circle, right? It's like you just wanted to see that one side. You were so asphyxiated on that one side. Mm-hmm. And so I think a little bit of awareness whenever we feel ourselves going down a space, whether it's like, and it's hard, right? Because it's like when it's elation, when it's happy, it's like, yeah, do it, commit to it. But whenever it's on the flip side, if it's something negative or that hurts, when we want to commit to that, I say feel it, own it, but don't allow it to like fully engross all of you. Like come back to center and come back to the balance between the two.
You know, it's funny. You know that I'm a pretty superstitious person, or at least I used to be mm-hmm. until they gave me meds.
and then I realized I had OCD.
I realized I was OCD. So something that I used to do was if I had a really good morning, I knew that my night was going to be shit. Mm-hmm. And if I had a really bad morning, I knew that my night was going to be great. And it was the weirdest thing that I would do to myself because I had the power to make them both of those things.
Right. Totally. I was like, whoa.
But that is how it went in my head every single time. Another thing that I would do is if something was considered unlucky, break a mirror, black cat, go under a ladder, whatever, I would make them good luck in my head. And so it was.
Isn't it just that easy?
But if I shaved my legs on a Tuesday, like, look out world, I'm about to fucking have a meltdown.
Shit's about to fall apart. All the mirrors are breaking.
But it's so funny to me how much power I had in those moments of having a good day or a bad day. If I only had a clean shirt that, you know, I thought was a bad luck shirt, I was going to have a bad day. And I know that people are probably listening to this and going, why didn't you just wash your clothes? You have to understand, I lived in an apartment where you needed quarters for a washing machine, and I was a single mother that lived paycheck to paycheck. I didn't always get to wash my clothes when I wanted to wash my clothes.
I'm over here thinking that is not what I would be thinking if I was listening to this.
Well, you don't think that somebody, like if I was like, all I had left was one shirt.
Was my unlucky shirt.
And people would be like, what the hell? Just don't wear your unlucky shirt. Just go wash your clothes. You don't think people would think that?
I think I was more so thinking like, just wear the shirt.
Oh, well, OCD brain.
Just wear the shirt. It's not unlucky.
Yeah, or... you know, wear the shirt and maybe you have a good day and then you're like, oh,
this is my lucky shirt. Make your unlucky
karma
shirt.
Has evened out.
I've paid all my karmic debts from wearing this one unlucky shirt.
This damn unlucky shirt. But yeah, like I've had so many moments of like that was the only control that I had in my life. I just find it very interesting now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got like a little lost in thought. I was like, do I have any unlucky shirts?
Do you have any unlucky shirts?
No, I don't have any unlucky things.
Do you have any like rituals or like things that you've done that you've considered lucky or unlucky?
No, I don't think.
Or is that just me?
I mean, I have a lucky number.
Yeah.
You know, I like things that add up to three.
But like if something adds up to three, are you like, oh, it's going to be a good day?
Or well, like for instance, when we bought our house, the address added up to three. And I was like, ooh, this is the house. I felt secure in that decision. So I was like, yeah, this is a good one.
See, I do like signs like that. Like when we bought our house, there was a praying mantis on the fountain. And I was like, this is it. It's the house.
This is the house.
Sign the papers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That praying mantis right there told me so. But if you were to try and explain that to anybody else, like I had to buy the house. There was a praying mantis.
They would to buy the house. All the numbers added up to three.
Yeah, exactly. People would be like, okay. You're an insane person.
Yeah, I think people probably do way more insane things than that. I think I'm pretty sane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, shave your legs on Wednesdays and Saturdays. You'll be fine.
That would be like overachieving in my department. Twice a week. Good Lord. It's wintertime, girl. It's high expectations.
Is your leg hair soft now? Like, has it grown to the point where it's soft?
No, I just give no fucks.
Duality.
Yeah. Once upon a time, I gave a fuck. I shaved my legs every time I was in the shower. Now, no.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. I definitely don't do that.
But, you know, I'm sure my family would appreciate a twice a week attention to detail.
Well, I mean, that's another thing with duality. And I mean, weird segue, but but it's like when you're dating somebody, the things that you do, and then when you are comfortable in your marriage with somebody. I remember somebody saying something about butterflies and how like, oh, they still give me butterflies. And I was like, ew, I don't want butterflies with my husband. I want to feel comfortable and secure and safe. Butterflies mean you have anxiety.
Butterflies means you're holding in a fart. Yeah. You've been holding in that fart because you do not feel comfortable.
You are not comfortable. If you're still getting butterflies, that means you're nervous. Your nervous system is out of whack. I do not want butterflies with my husband. I want the opposite of that. I want to walk in and barely notice he's there.
Mission accomplished.
And also, like I want to be comfortable in the things that we do.
Right.
But in my younger years, those butterflies meant you were feeling something. There was a spark. There was a oof, you know, like, and that is duality, my friends.
It is. It is. I feel like oftentimes when you talk about like relationships, there is like this kind of when you've been with somebody. My husband and I have been together. August will be 17 years. Mm-hmm. And so like there's times where you're like, oh, you know, it used to be like this or it used to be like that. And you kind of, you know, remember and fantasize about the newer times of your relationship.
Yeah.
But then like in like a breath, I'm like, it's so nice to sit on the couch and literally have no words and not even consider the fact that you have not spoken to this person next to you because you're doing your thing and they're doing their thing and there is no pressure outside of like just existing next to each other. Like there's yes. beauty in that too.
There really is. It's one of my favorite things. Like when I was dating, no way somebody would see me without makeup on.
Right.
Not a fucking chance in hell. No way was I farting or pooping. I'm a girl. I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get married and the door's open. The poop's a flowing.
Yep.
I mean, not flowing. I don't have bowel issues.
It's considered within the realm of normal.
The normal consistency of poop is happening most of the time.
So while we're on the subject, do you leave the door open?
Usually my husband's not home when I'm pooping.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I have like a really strong reaction to the door being left open when somebody's in the bathroom. I'm like, can you please shut the door?
No, no. And I don't want my husband to have the door open either. I ask him to shut the door also. I also have a very strong reaction to the smell. I'm like, I don't want to smell your shit. That's yeah. why for me, having two toilets at my house, like in the master bathroom,
game changer.
Is my favorite thing in the whole world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I came home the other day and I dropped the girls off. Sorry, honey. And he is like sitting there with the door wide open in like the front bathroom, which is like right in the middle of everything, really. It's like yeah. right around the corner from the kitchen, the living room. And he's like trying to get in this in-depth conversation with me. And I'm like, now, no, you need to shut the door. We can talk about this another time. I'm not having a conversation with you while you're sitting on the toilet. I'm sorry. You got to shut that door. I'll see you later.
Yes. I think that's a fair conversation
yeah.
to have.
Yeah. I mean, I know some couples, they just let it ride. They're having life conversations on the toilet. But for me, it's a no-go.
So this is funny. And so Brimstone, the guy that I do the Dirty Little Secrets Club with, his wife will walk into the bathroom and sit on his lap. And I was like, Danielle, you love him in a way that I can never love my husband.
I mean, that makes me think of my children when they were little. Like, they would come be like trying to be in the bathroom and they like come sit on my lap. Mommy, I want you. I'm like, can I have 5 minutes, please?
They just have their they're just, you know, she just doesn't care. That's not something that bothers her. And I find that fascinating.
Fascinating is a really nice way to put it.
No, it is fascinating to me. And I'll tell you why. And it goes back to how everybody is different. The things that fascinate me are how I could look at a human being and be like, you are a beautiful specimen of a human being. And another person could look at that same human being and be like, ew, what are you talking about?
Right.
That fascinates me. It fascinates me that I can eat cilantro, no soap taste, but somebody else can eat cilantro and taste soap. Like how it fascinates me that I don't mind textures when I'm eating sushi or whatever. And somebody else is like, if you put a piece of fish near me, I will stab you in the eye with a fork.
All those things I understand. But sitting on the lap, I'm still stuck there.
You can't wrap your head around it.
I mean, I can. I get that all people like all sorts of things. I respect that. I see it. I trouble digesting it.
Yeah, and that's okay. Yeah. That's one of the beautiful things is that if you don't like sitting on somebody's lap while they're taking a poopsie, you don't have to.
I just have a hard time believing that Brimstone takes poopsies.
Oh, no, he takes dumps.
Exactly. That's where I'm stuck.
Yes, he definitely doesn't take a cute little poopsie.
No, he does not. I mean, I don't know, but I'm assuming.
Danielle listens to this. So hi, Danielle. And sorry. And I love you. But yes, that I like that there is duality within yourself. There is duality within your relationships, like duality within my friendships, duality within my marriage, duality with children. It's just we don't pay attention enough to it, I think.
Well, I think that when you do start paying attention to it, the beauty of it is that when you can see the full spectrum, you understand that it is a continuum. And so you can't stay in one place. If you're in a tough spot and you see that there is a spectrum, right? And it's going around in that flow, like at some point it's gonna get good again. And then at some point, it's going to get hard again because it's full circle.
I think it's funny you say that too, because I have come to that. Like there are times in my life where things are just good. And I will sit there and I have to remind myself to really enjoy the like simple, nothing dramatic happening, just like easy, good stuff. Because something's going to come up eventually.
Right.
So to really appreciate those moments of when I'm just like, even if it's not good, it's just indifferent. Easy. It's just okay.
Mm-hmm.
Really appreciating those moments of just, all right, hey, you know what? Nothing shitty is going on. yay, celebrate.
Right. And the other part of it, too, is that, like, when you've gone through dark periods and you've come out the other side and you have perspective, what I've realized is that things are happening in that darkness.
Yes.
Things are breaking down.
Yep.
Things are building up. Mm-hmm. I'm growing. I'm learning lessons. And so now that I've been through that a couple of times here in my time on Earth, I now realize that when I'm in those dark times, I can lean on that perspective and remind myself that this is a period of growth. Mm-hmm. And yes, this is hard. And yes, it's a struggle. And yes, there's good coming out of the struggle.
So with duality, do you think that, like, let's say maybe you're having a hard time with something. Something has you feeling really low. Do you think to try and even that out in that moment, you should also be trying to think of the opposite emotion of what you might be feeling right then? Or do you think it's just kind of a sit with it and feel that and then maybe later try that out?
I think for me, it's a sit with it with the understanding that I'm gaining something from feeling this way.
Yeah.
You know, so like not necessarily like sitting here and, you know, a couple months ago, I was in a really tough spot. And not to say that, like, you know, I waved a magic wand and everything is better, but I had some shifting going on within that has allowed me to sit here today and still be in the same situation, but to receive it in a different way.
Uh-huh.
And so for me, it's like I can sit with the emotion and understand that, like, I'm experiencing this in this way because I have something to learn.
Yeah.
And allow for that to take place.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes what happens when we have something to learn is that we want to rush the process. Just teach me what I got to know. Just let me heal what I got to heal. Let me get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And what happens in that is that you might do some of it. You might learn some of it. But, like, you didn't learn all of it. And then you got to go back.
Yeah, I get that. There's something that I used to do with my kids. And I mean, nobody knows if you're parenting right or not. So whether this was a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. But whenever they would get into, like, a fight where they were, like, name calling or, you know, doing something mean to each other, I would make them stop. And then I would say, okay, now I want you to sit and think of three nice things that you want to say to him after you just called him a fat asshole, you know?
Like, right.
Now, what's the opposite of that? And I am just putting that together now that that is part of duality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unknowingly you were teaching it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it was forceful. They were not trying to.
No, they weren't like, yes, mommy, I do love my brother.
You know what? In reality, he's a pretty swell guy.
Exactly.
Gee whiz, mom.
Exactly. So when you were saying that, like, something came to mind for me. It's like this idea of good, bad, right, wrong.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes, whenever we look at, like, a continuum of something and we look at the opposites, we have a tendency to label one as good or right.
Yeah.
And the tendency to label the other one as bad or wrong.
Solid point.
And whenever we sit in a place of duality and we can see the full spectrum, removing those labels is super helpful.
Yeah.
Super helpful. So whenever you're feeling, let's say, depressed, because who wants to feel depressed?
Ugh, it's hard.
Right?
Yeah.
Depressed is bad.
Uh-huh.
Depressed is wrong. I don't want to feel that. Joy is good. Joy is right.
Mm-hmm.
If you can take a step back from that and not look at either of them as good or bad or right or wrong, then I don't know. I feel like you're able to remove, like, maybe detach a little bit from this, like, judgment of what you should be feeling.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if I'm like, why am I so depressed? Why am I so down? This is so bad. I'm judging myself. So not only am I feeling bad, but then I'm adding a layer of judgment on top of it. So if we can take a little step back and remove those labels, and even in the things that easily are to say, like, this is right or wrong, stealing.
Murder, bad.
Right. You know? Right. Stealing, right, wrong, you know?
Yeah.
The labels only exist because the opposite is there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whenever I was thinking about, like, the depression thing and it being good or bad, it just then made me realize how much we add to the struggle by judging what we're experiencing.
Yeah. And I think that it's important too. Like, we come in here every week, we talk about, you know, different subjects. Whenever we're talking about this, I think that people should realize that we put this into practice like 15% of the time, right? Because we can't be somebody that is continuously doing all of these things. Like, I am a human being that acknowledges that I need to be better at being present. I need to be better with duality. I need to be better with balancing this and that, or, you know, but I only put these things into practice when I think about it, when I'm intentional with it. There's a lot of things going on in life that we can't always be doing, you know, the work 100% of the time. If I've got 17 things on my mind, like, oh, I have a pasta night for this kid and this kid has a game and I have to wash the uniform and then I need to, you know, like, life does just happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you're listening to these episodes and you're putting these things into practice some of the time, then you're ahead of the game. And, like, that's what this is all about. I think that, again, we can use that judgment and be really hard on ourselves. Like, oh, gosh, I scrolled Instagram for a half an hour today and I said that I wasn't going to do that, that I was going to be present. And then you beat yourself up for it. Instead, think about that intentional not scrolling that you did for 3 hours after that.
Right.
Or, you know, like, we do tend to focus on the negative. And I think that if we are putting the things that we want to into practice some of the time, if we're making the effort and being intentional about it some of the time, then I think we're doing all right.
Yeah. And to your point, it's like, when you think about it, you do it.
Uh-huh.
And when you're aware of it and you realize that maybe your actions are out of alignment with your heart or what you want for yourself and you adjust it, you're putting it into practice.
Yeah.
Now, if you're sitting there and you're like, I know I should be doing this, or I want to practice forgiveness, but then you don't put that into practice, you know, then maybe you need to settle up with yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, when you notice and you're putting things into practice, you're putting your best foot forward. You're trying your absolute best to be a better person and to add love to our world. And that's what it's about.
Well, you and I have said before, 10% better, right? Mm-hmm. We're just trying to be just a teeny tiny bit better. And eventually you get there.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, guys, I hope that this coming week you can put into practice any of the things that you've gotten from these episodes. If there was something that you loved and you want to share it with somebody that maybe could use it too, we would appreciate that.
Absolutely. You can go ahead and share, leave a review.
Love a
maybe
review.
A couple stars, five to be exact would be great.
If you give us a couple, I will hunt you down.
She said what she said.
I can be soft and strong.
Duel.
And I will challenge you to a duel.
Okay, everybody. Thanks for another week with us. Until next time.
We're unbatting, baby.
Unbatting. Unbatting. We're unbatting, baby. On a journey, baby. We're on batting, baby. We're on